Professor Astle-Burt, what led you to begin this investigation into the connection between green spaces and Alzheimer's?
Yeah, I've always been interested in how where we live and where we grow up and where we grow old and where we spend a lot of our time, both in terms of where we work, but also where we play and socialize, may have an impact on what we can choose to do and how healthy we are, for better and for worse. Now, we know that, unfortunately, less than ideal progress has been made in towards developing new treatments for dementia, but particularly Alzheimer's. And that suggests that we need to, therefore, conduct a lot more scientific investigation on how to prevent this from happening in the first place. Not a lot of research has been done on how where we live may contribute to dementia and Alzheimer's risk, and that's where I come into play. So my work, which I've been funded from the National Health and Medical Research Council for the next 4 years, is to look at how the types of built environments and, crucially, the green space, the nature that's constituted within those areas, helps to shape our lifestyles, our health, and further down the line, how we do in terms of our development of Alzheimer's and dementia or not. The general hypothesis is, or what we hope to find, is that greener environments, those environments where we can be more relaxed, be social outdoors, the types of environments which attract us to be physically active and help us to stem away from air pollution and help to shelter us from the midday sun and all those things, particularly for folks in inner cities or right across Australia, those types of environments hopefully help us to reduce our risk of getting dementia over time.
How do you plan to collect and quantify this data?
Well, that's always the, the million-dollar question. We have access to data uniquely within New South Wales. There are maybe a handful of other places around the world which have large enough sample sizes on people where we can actually track over time how people do in a range of spheres. So not only where people are living at different points in their lives, but also what types of physical activity they're doing, if any, how they are doing in terms of the quality of the life as they report over time, whether they visit the hospital from time to time or visit the general practitioner, all the way through to whether people get Alzheimer's or not. And the way that we can measure Alzheimer's, this is a very difficult thing to measure, but what we can do in New South Wales is look at whether people get certain types of drugs from the pharmaceutical benefits scheme. And that helps us to identify whether a person is taking drugs for Alzheimer's and therefore whether a person has Alzheimer's or not. We can look at that over a 10 to 15 year period among a very large number of adults in New South Wales aged around 65 and older.
Now, the number of people in Australia suffering from dementia is set to increase from 413,000 to 536,000 by 2025. If you find positive results from this study, what could the government do to bring these numbers down?
That is a very good question. And what we should say is that number is an expectation. It's an estimate. That doesn't necessarily mean it's definitely going to happen. And indeed, in the lab which I and my colleague Dr. Xiaoqi Feng lead at the University of Wollongong, that's the Population Wellbeing and Environment Research Lab, or Power Lab, we're very interested in finding solutions, finding ways in which we can actually subvert those numbers and say, okay, if that's what it's projected to happen, how do we try and change that around? How do we try and do game-changing research in that regard? And so from a green space point of view, I think many people who are in the urban planning, the city planning field, who work in councils, are already on board with saying green spaces provide a quality to our local environments. It's not just that green spaces can increase house prices, in which many economic studies show that may well be the case, but by providing opportunities for people to be outdoors, to be social within a very attractive environment, to feel that they can breathe fresh air and they can have effortless restoration after a hard day's slog at work or looking after dependents. Though those little things which help us to make our lives a little bit better, a little bit of a higher quality of life for everyone, green space can actually do that, and it's for free. It doesn't require you to spend money to go and visit a park or go out and be among some wonderful trees outdoors and take a stroll through a meadow or anything like that. It's an intervention, if you will, which can be available for everyone. And that way, getting a little bit every day can help us to boost our health over time and hopefully stave away the Alzheimer's risk. Effectively, what I'm saying here is a potentially important part of the solution to promoting health in our communities is not actually run by the people who work in the health sector. It's through city planning, through careful planning of green spaces and protecting the green spaces that we have available. In order to do that, we need to make sure that we have top quality evidence to support those initiatives. We already have quite a lot in terms of green space helping to promote mental health, green space promoting more physically active lifestyles. But what we need now is to say, okay, so how, let's work further down the line. Do green spaces help to contribute to our long-term health, helping to keep us healthy, out of hospital, and hopefully reducing our risk of getting Alzheimer's disease?
And just to finish off, Professor Astelbert, what is the right time, what is the right age to actually start to talk to people about and address Alzheimer's and dementia? Like, is there a proper age? Like, when it should be addressed and start to be observed that people are taking the appropriate measures not to contract this horrible disease?
I think that we need to be talking about Alzheimer's and dementia more widely as a society. So everybody should be talking about it to some degree, because that way, if we're all talking about it, we're having an intelligent and educated conversation. We're informed by the facts that we know, and we're not afraid to identify the areas where we are uncertain, and therefore work with scientists to try and push through those gaps and make sure that the funding is there to ensure that the science is there, that we can actually enhance our understandings of what Alzheimer's is, what dementia is, what mental health is, what type 2 diabetes is, and then we can become more informed as a society as to how we go about preventing it from happening, and among people who are directly affected, ensuring that they get the management and the health care that they need.